We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
A lot of people want to make fun of LeBron, who said, hey, the play-in tournament's a really good idea, right until it became a problem he might have to deal with. I guess things change when they become, you know, your responsibility. But I don't begrudge them, because the Lakers probably didn't think that they would be this banged up, probably didn't think that they were going to be sliding like this, and maybe they have slid all the way, if the Warriors keep on winning out here, to an unbelievable matchup in the play-in tournament. To talk Lakers, to talk NBA, we're always happy to go to ESPN LA Radio to find our friend George Sedano to talk with him about it. What is going on, George? How are you, pal?
Guys, I'm great, man. Good to hear your voices, and thank you for having me on.
It's always good to have you. Just me and Ray today here on a Thursday afternoon.
Kolsky didn't want to talk to me today?
He is out on you. He didn't want to have a word.
All right.
Here's how much he didn't want to talk to you. He went and had a baby.
There you go.
Look at that. I mean,
that's
planned that out 9 months ahead of time.
Yeah. He knew this was booked.
There is a point at which I'm going to have to talk to that idiot. Honey, let's get working.
So... George, you've been covering LeBron back to the Miami days. You know him very, very well. How surprised were you to hear him basically say, I might never be 100% again? That felt like a defeatist LeBron that really I've never heard him even come close to that before. And even if that were the reality, very few athletes ever want to share anything like that. What did you think of that?
Well, I thought it was frustration, number one. But he has actually said it before. I was actually having this conversation recently with Dave McMiniman, who covers the Lakers for ESPN, and actually covered LeBron in Cleveland. And I remember this specifically because it happened in the 2014-15 season. If you recall correctly, that was LeBron's first season back in Cleveland after he left Miami. And he had a really bad back injury, and the guys that helped him get through that are guys named David Alexander and Donnie Raymond. Those are his were his trainers for many, many years. They now train Chris Paul, actually, the last several years, and we've seen what they've done with him. But I digress. But he said it then when he remember that was the time. You guys may have to think back at this, where he left the team in Cleveland for 2 weeks and came back to Miami to train and kind of rehab his back. And everybody's like, oh, no, is he having second thoughts about going to Cleveland? Does he miss Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh? And all that nonsense that ensued after the fact. But he did say that then. He said, yeah, I don't know if I'll ever be 100% coming off that back injury. And, you know, when you hear it again, you know, you say to yourself, well, this is a little different, right? He's 36. You know, it's 2021, 6 years later. And maybe he probably meant it then, because back injuries are nothing to be trifled with, right? And, you know, he's older now. But I do think it was just frustration, if I had to guess.
Speaking of back injuries, Anthony Davis, go.
Well, I mean, listen, there's a long list of injuries here that we can go through, mostly minor. But, you know, his situation, I think, is just more – they're just taking care of him at this point. He's accumulated some stuff. And look, he's just got a history of it. And, you know, there are guys in sports that are just injury prone. You know, I mean, you guys have covered sports for a long time. Like, you just know that some guys, that's just going to be the case.
Hey, we just saw a 49ers draft pick that reflects that, you know?
Right. Right, right. The biggest predictor of future injury is past injury. Like, I've always said that, and I stand by it. And I think that that's just something they're going to have to deal with Anthony Davis, the Lakers, that is, just kind of moving forward. It's probably why he signed the five-year extension this year instead of waiting to get to free agency where he could have signed for more money. But he wanted that security because the extra, whatever it was, $30 million or whatever, was probably not worth it to him to lock this thing up.
George Sedano here on 95.7 The Game. So if we're looking at Warriors-Lakers, one game, you know, kind of winner-take-all situation down in Staples Center, what kind of handicap are you putting on this? Do you like the Warriors to have a puncher's chance? It feels like the Lakers, you know, they were ticketed to the NBA Finals in a lot of people's minds for the entire year, and then things changed dramatically. So what do you think of a one-game shot with the Warriors?
I mean, I don't love it if I'm the Lakers. Like, I don't want Steph to go supernova if I'm them, which he's certainly capable of. We've seen that. And look, I watched, because I've got the Warriors tomorrow. I'm actually flying up there tonight because I've got the Pelicans game tomorrow on ESPN with Mark Jones and Hubie Brown. And I spent the week specifically watching the Warriors, and I watched that Jazz game and that Suns game, and I was just like, this Warriors team looks completely different than the team that you know, I covered for a few games earlier this season, particularly against the Lakers, where they got blown out of the water in a game at Staples Center about a month or two ago, where I'm talking about it wasn't even competitive in the first quarter. They were down 20, and you know, the Lakers never looked back. And I thought Draymond made a really good point in the post game the other night, which was that, you know, in some of these games, particularly like the Phoenix game, he's like, that's a game we would have lost by 40, you know, just a few months ago, and we've come a long way. And I do think that. I think this Warriors team is certainly far more dangerous than the team that was at Staples Center, you know, a month and a half or 2 months ago or whatever it was. So, yeah, I give them a puncher's chance for sure, because Steph can get hot. And as long as the guys around him can shoot the ball well, which certainly wasn't the case against Phoenix, but the fact that they overcame that, man, that says to me that this team is one to be reckoned with and not to be taken lightly, for sure.
But having seen what Phoenix did to take Curry as close to out of a game as you can, would you expect the Lakers, who have been the second-best defensive team in basketball most of the year when healthy, would you expect them to do something similar to the point where they would just say, okay, if Andrew Wiggins could get 38 on us, then maybe we lose? Or would you expect them to try to play this more straight up and make Curry get 50?
Well, I think that, I mean, look, either approach I think is one that they can take. If I had to guess, just based off, you know, what I know about Frank Vogel, they'll probably be a little bit of both, right? Where they're going to mix up their coverages and blitzes, particularly where they don't know what's coming on any given possession, right? There may be possessions where they're trapping Steph and getting the ball out of his hands very early and quickly. There may be other possessions where they're like, okay, we're going to guard everybody else and let him just kind of go and do his thing because we don't feel like those other guys can beat us, even if, as long as we just guard them straight up. So I don't think there's a specific answer to that, Ray. I just think that you're probably going to see a combination of those particular tactics.
How much buzz do the Clippers have in LA, if any at all? Because it feels like they're the one team that nobody's talking about that is probably,
right,
you know, maybe more ready, more prepared to really challenge some of the top heavy teams like Utah or Phoenix than anyone else in the bunch.
You know, Damon, it's so funny. So I was talking about that for weeks, right? I'm like, this team, this was before they played the Knicks this past weekend or last weekend. And I'm like, man, I know they had a little three-game hiccup here, but if you look at the bigger picture, right, I always like to say, you know, if you want to have a better idea of what a team is doing, just zoom out a little bit, right? Look back on the schedule. And they had won 13 out of 17. And look, Ty Lue is definitely one of these guys that historically will kind of use the season to build on stuff, right, and just kind of lay out some stuff later in the year for the guys to kind of get used to, stuff that they maybe are practicing that they're not implementing in games early on in the season. But he'll start to kind of throw some of that stuff out as the season progresses. And we started to see that, right? To your point, they were building momentum. And then they lost to the Knicks. And I was like, man, I had been sitting here saying, watch out for this team You know, nobody wants to see them right now. They're better than they were last year. And look, they're still that. But then they have one of these duds on offense because they get so ISO heavy. And that's really their Achilles heel is, yes, those two guys and Paul George and Kawhi are so good at isolation basketball. And that stuff helps in the playoffs. But I just think it bogs them down offensively to the point where it puts the other guys in a position where they may be pressing some by the time they do get the ball. So I think it's counterproductive in a lot of ways offensively when they do that stuff. And they had gotten away from that. They had, you know, they were getting to the line more. They were attacking the paint more. They were relying less on jump shooting during that streak that I mentioned when they won 13 out of 17. But every once in a while, they have a clunker, and then they kind of, you know, they kind of put me in a position where I don't know if I believe what I was saying previously about them. So they are a strange team, certainly. But to your point, look, we thought they could win a championship last year. They're better, I think, this year. If they can have any semblance of consistency, I think that they're absolutely in the mix for a title still.
Is there a team in the West that doesn't have an exploitable weakness, though? Because you always hear hesitance about Utah, and it's usually you know, based on history where, okay, they've never done it before, blah, blah, blah. You always have sort of resistance to Phoenix because they're not great defensively and they like to play one style. Where's the team that has the fewest amount of exploitable weaknesses to the point where you would say that's the hardest out in the group?
Well, I mean, a healthy Lakers team, right? Like if you're guaranteeing me health with LeBron and Anthony Davis in this scenario, then it's them because, as you alluded to earlier, right, defensively they're incredible. You have LeBron, you have AD, who's really the biggest mismatch, I think, potentially in the NBA. Their only Achilles heel is their inconsistent shooting at times, but they've been able to overcome that because of LeBron and Anthony Davis. So if there was a team with full health that I feel like has the least amount of warts, it would be them. I think Utah's in that category. I mean, I think the thing with them is we look at them and say, well, they just haven't done it in the postseason. And the other wart they have is, well, do they really have someone that can guard LeBron? Which they don't. Or Kawhi or even Paul George for that matter. So I think that every team has something. It's just a matter of how big of an impact that particular weakness will show come playoff time.
George Sedano from ESPN. I tell you what, have you ever heard the Ray Ratto top of the hour rejoiner? Because we got to play one right here, and I want you to sample this incredible. I want you to know he's available for birthdays, wedding, and bar mitzvahs. Here he is.
Okay, great.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 in San Francisco. It's an Odyssey station.
We are making Ray available for voiceover work, in case you're interested.
Well, it's funny. I've actually heard that rejoin, the top of the hour legal ID, when I've come on with you in the past. And I always wondered, you know, who is that man? That voice, those sultry sounds. Little did I know I was talking to him all this time.
Drive into a tree.
So, look, one last question for you here. Thank you so much for staying with us, too. NFL schedules are out. And one of the first things I noticed about the 49ers schedule is they don't play the Rams until week 10. And the very first thing that popped into my mind was whatever slow start Matthew Stafford might have will be far behind him because, you know, we finally got a real quarterback teamed up with a real coach in McVay. And that could be as difficult a game as the 49ers have on their schedule all year. The Rams in week 10, with them officially firing on all cylinders, McVay and Stafford together. What do you think of early scheduling returns as you look at them?
Yeah, look, I think the Rams are going to be really potent, right? Like, if you look at Sean McVay and what he's been able to do with Jared Goff, right, a guy who, look, has limitations. Let's be real here, okay? And when they were able to protect him and give him three and a half seconds to throw the ball, they were good, but in this league, you may not always have that, and you can't always depend on guys being healthy along the offensive line. And the Rams went through a bit of a metamorphosis, too, on the offensive line as they started to inject youth, which means you inject inexperience. So now you've got an offensive line who played, I thought, pretty well last year, and it's getting better because they're growing together. They're still fairly young for the most part outside of Whitworth. And, you know, Whitworth has even talked about moving to guard if he has to because the young tackles are playing so well. So they've got that. They've got an experienced quarterback. They've got a ton of weapons for him on offense, you know, as far as the receiving core and the tight ends are concerned. And they like the running back group as well. And you know, you mentioned McVay. Yeah, they're poised to make a run here, although their schedule is brutal. I was looking at it yesterday, and we were playing the ever-so-famous game on sports radio. That's a win, that's a loss.
Yeah, I got the Niners going 17-0, by the way, so look out.
Of course. I have the Rams at about 10 or 11 wins, and I have them basically splitting within the division just because that division, man, still the toughest, I think, in the sport. And, you know, with the Niners part of it, or at least in regards to the Rams, I mean – they've had the Rams' number. As much as the Rams have had Seattle's number, it's been the other way for the Niners and the Rams. And, again, these guys are just going to beat each other up. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm super excited for it. Who's going to start a quarterback for you guys? Like, Lance isn't going to start, like, early on, right?
Oh, no. It's all Garoppolo. Gucci gang until otherwise.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, and look, the guy got you to a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, right? Like, you could do worse, I would imagine, at that position. So, I would imagine that the, you know, Arizona will be a little bit behind, even though they added an older J.J. Watt. But they'll still be a team that, you know, will win 8-9 games, I think, or at least has the potential to do that. And we know that Seattle and San Francisco and the Rams all have the potential for double-digit wins. So it's going to be fun no matter what.
No doubt about it. Hey, if we can ever do anything for you, you let us know. Because whenever we pick up the phone and ask you to do something for us, you always say yes. We appreciate your time, George. And have a good trip up to the Bay and enjoy yourself at Chase Center tomorrow night.
You got it, guys, for sure. Anytime. And, Ray, look, my daughter's birthday's this weekend. You know, if we need some voiceover work, I know where to find you now. So,
The restraining order prevents me from attending.
I see. Well, you guys have a great week and a great weekend.
George Sedano, ESPN, great guy all around, man. Really, really good guy.